This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I'm not Stormy Bonatoni. I am Claudia Bellafato. He is Michael Lombardi, and this is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. Michael, I'm excited. Happy to be here with you. How was your weekend?
My weekend was good. Everything was great. Hopefully you enjoyed Mother's Day with your mom, and it went well. Yeah, we all celebrated birthday, Mother's Day, honoring great mothers around. Certainly my wife Millie does a tremendous job. So anytime we can honor Millie, it's always a good day.
Sounds like it. It was good for me as well. Lots going on, especially for Bruins fans. A tough weekend for them. Of course, we have NHL, NBA playoffs. We're going to get through all that. Talk some NFL as well. We have some great guests coming on. Thomas Gable from the Borgata is going to join us to talk about all that weekend action. We have Randy Mueller who's going to join us to talk some football. That's coming up at the top of the second hour. But first, exciting. We can already talk about NFL because we do have the game of the season. The season opener, AFC title rematch. And how about this, Michael? The line has already moved on the total. Chiefs opened as the 3-point favorite. Total moved down. Open 49 in the hook, down to 47.5. People jumped at it. They just couldn't wait.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously the sharp bettors see this as a game that's going to be a defensive battle. Because when you look at Kansas City's offseason with the Rashid Rice situation there pending, have they really gotten better offensively? Are they going to go back to the same old Isaiah Pacheco, throw the ball short, win with defense? And then the Ravens are in a little bit of a transitional state in the terms of, you know, they signed the big man Derrick Henry. They're going to run the ball. Lamar's going to be under center. What I find, this is the perfect opening game, Claudia, because these are two coaches that really believe in training camp. They're old school in the sense that they get their team ready for the opener. Both teams, Baltimore with John Harbaugh and Andy Reid in Kansas City, are 4-1 over the last 5 years in opening games. Now, we know Andy lost to Detroit last year, but I think this will be a really well-played game early in the season, and I think it's awesome to start with the MVP of the league and the MVP of the Super Bowl facing off.
Yeah, I remember when everyone was so excited to fade the Chiefs because they got off to a slow start and everyone was jumping at that. Well, then what happened, people? And I just hope in this game, Michael, since it is the rematch, are the Ravens going to run the ball? Or are they going to go back to trying to throw it against what they did all season long?
Yeah. Well, you know, they have to run it because they signed Henry. And Henry's a back that when you watch what he does well, he needs to be behind the quarterback, 7 yards deep, and run downhill. If you sign Henry and try to put him offset eye and shotgun, you're not going to be happy with his production. So he forces them to run an offense, which I've been screaming about for 3 years that they should run, which is Lamar under center more, more play action pass, more separation of the defense, more ability to clear out the outside passing lanes for him. So, yeah, I think they took their medicine, Claudia. I think there's no question that they realized, look, we didn't run the ball. We got behind in the game, and they didn't play anywhere near the level that they should have in terms of the style that they played. I got the sense just watching that game, they got desperate. They really got desperate early, and they shouldn't have.
Yeah, they seemed to panic, which was strange because they seemed pretty comfortable with their roles in the regular season. And I'm really interested to see now that he has some help out of that backfield, how Lamar does with his pocket presence, being more comfortable in the quarterback, not quarterback running back position. We're going to talk plenty of football later on, but we have to talk about what happened this weekend in the NBA, Michael, because series flipped on their heads. The Nuggets and Pacers both went into the weekend down 0-2 and then came out Monday on top. And apparently home court disadvantage is the case in Denver, Minnesota, because nobody's won a home game yet. The Nuggets took 2 on the road against the Timberwolves, cashing outright as the 3.5-point dogs in game 4, 115 to 107, cashing the total over 204 in the hook. All of this despite Anthony Edwards dropping 44. Jokic scored 16 of his 35 points in the fourth quarter. Aaron Gordon, 27 points on 11 for 12 shooting. And when it comes down to it, this is what we were waiting for. We sort of knew this was happening. I said this on the shows I had went on over the last few weeks. I should say over the last few days. You got to bet Denver if you like them now, because this is the time they're at plus money. This isn't going to last long. Here's head coach Mike Malone on his team's efforts.
What I found is Rudy T is right, man. Never underestimate the heart of a champion. You know what I mean? Like, they were quick to write us off, you know, but these guys, we won a championship a year ago. You know what I mean? We went into Miami, won two games in a row. Like, this team has been tested time and time again, and we found a way to solve whatever's been thrown at us. Series is a long way from being over. We're not celebrating. It's 2-2. So now you have to find a way to win game five. But what I found about our group is that they do believe in themselves. And more importantly, they believe in the man next to them. And, you know, we have a group that is acting as you would hope a championship team would act.
I don't think they got any momentum. I mean, we won two games. At this point, it's just whoever wins two games. So I don't know how people look at it, but I look at it like I'm happy. We're competing at the highest level, and I'm smiling about it because I'm happy. I'm ready to go play. If we play tomorrow, I'll be ready. So it's going to be fun.
Cool as a cucumber, Anthony Edwards. At 22 years old, he is ready to take on anything. It's funny to see Malone sort of say the obvious out loud, you know. Well, I don't know if everybody wrote them off. I'm curious what you think about that part of it. But he said, you know, this is a 7-game series. We knew there was an opportunity to come back. They have the talent to do so, and they did. What's your take on this series so far?
I mean, you got to wonder where Minnesota's defense went. I mean, when you think about it, Minnesota did not play defense to the level that we're used to seeing them, and they were so good in the regular season. I mean, Denver shoots 57% from the from 3-point and in. I mean, who are you beating shooting 57, giving up 57% field goal percentage? And then they shot 44.8% from the 3-point line. So Minnesota, the strength of their team is their defense, and it wasn't the strength of their team yesterday. And look, it's going to take a lot to beat the champion. It's always going to take a lot because they have the power and the will, and they understand it. It's what we call competitive fiber. And it takes hard work to get there. And I think with Minnesota is a young team with some veteran players, they're going to need to raise their level when they go into Mile High to play game five. But I agree with Anthony Edwards. You know, it's just where we thought it was going to be. Maybe it's different in terms of home court. But look, if they can nail down their defensive attitude and play to the level we've seen them play the first two games defensively, you know, then I think ultimately they have a chance. But, you know, the great thing about 7-game series, Claudia, is the fact that the adjustments to the adjustments to the adjustments, it's really 7-game series are like football games. You know, the different adjustments through the game. And Finch, the head coach of the Timberwolves, he's going to have to adjust his defense to fit, or because he can't allow them to shoot 57% again and think he's going to win.
And we saw them keep them, what was it, well below 30% in those first two games around there. So I think if you're looking at how to bet a series like this right now, and we'll pull up the odds, you have the Nuggets right now, the favorite at minus 165. Like I said, it was the games prior to jump on them at plus money. You're sort of chasing the number now. You could argue that they're going to continue to win, so now is the cheapest price. I don't necessarily agree with that. I see value with the T-Wolves at plus 140. You talked about that defense. I'm also looking at this game log too, Michael. Total rebounds, they out-rebounded them 42-31. Those second chance opportunities were there. Anthony Edwards clearly not slowing down anytime soon. Do you see any value with the plus money in the T-Wolves?
Yeah, I think this series is far from being over. Even if Denver, you know, you got to believe everybody's going to bet Denver at going home and figuring they're going to carry the momentum of what they've done in the past. But one thing about young players, their memories are short, right? And I think with Conley as the stabilizer on the Timberwolves, they'll go on to the next game, and it's going to require that the Nuggets play really well. Can they shoot 57%? I don't know. I mean, look, they got a hell of a game out of Braun coming off the bench, hitting those 3 3-pointers. Just when I thought the game was going to turn last night, Braun hits a key three, and kind of, and all of a sudden the lead goes back up to 12. He misses that shot, things change. So look, one thing about the NBA, you got to have a short memory, because the next day the game's over, you're back. And I don't think Minnesota's done. I agree with you. I would take some of the Minnesota plus money right now, because I do think it'll be a 7-game series. I do think they'll come back to Denver to play the seventh game. And in seventh game, it's about your best players playing great.
The And as you talk about that, we have the odds for that as well. You can do exacto where it's Minnesota, you know, 4-2 at plus 320. You can do the series total games if you like it to go 7, minus 115. The books are clearly confused on if it's going to go 6 or 7 because it's basically the same price, about a 10 cents difference. But I think you're right. It's going to be a tight series. I know we have Pacers-Knicks to talk about. Hopefully the Knicks have a short-term memory with that game as well, which we will get to a little bit later on. But as far as this series goes, I think it just comes down to consistency and the role players. We know that Joker and Anthony Edwards are going to show up, but it's going to come down to, can Aaron Gordon show up again with 27 points? I mean, of course, we have Jamal Murray, who's been a little inconsistent, I think, over, you know, the past few games in this postseason. And then with the Timberwolves, it's just next man up. It's not really Cat. So the question is, who else is it?
Yeah, I mean, Naz Reid, he's got to play at the level he typically plays. Alexander's got to raise his level. But look, it's going to come down to, they got to play better defense, right? They can't give up, you know, Gordon's 11 for 12 from the floor. You can't beat anybody that if you don't get stops. You can't set your defense. You can't, you know, you're always playing in half-court offense with a great half-court player, but that makes it really hard. And I think they'll raise their level of play. I think this is going to be on the coach and all the players. So I think this is far from over. I'm excited to watch that. This is a great series to watch. It's been fun, just like the Mavericks and the Thunder and the Knicks, which we'll talk about after the break.
Yep, and we got Celtics, Cavs. I have to admit, this is one of the more exciting postseasons in the NBA, and we have plenty of time to chat all of that. We're also going to get into some NFL, which we'll do next with News or Noise. Stick right here.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Today on the VSiN website, we have best bets for today's NBA playoff slate from Zachary Cohen and Jonathan Von Tobel, plus a new article breaking down Caitlin Clark's MVP odds and season props as we get ready for the start of the WNBA season. And we're going to get to some sound out of New England as well as other NFL headlines. But first, Michael, I'm sorry to all Knicks fans watching this, but we do have to relive it because it's important and we're a sports show. We got to do these things. Bad loss. It was a bad loss over the weekend. Pacers took down the Knicks by 32 points in a 121-89 Game 4 win to tie the series now 2-2. They cashed the 5.5, the under, 219 in the hook. But the real story was, finally, the Knicks seem to be running out of gas. And Michael, I'm very curious to get your take on the rest of this series. But first, we have to hear from Brunson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We got sound on Brunson, guys? Pretty sure we have sound. No? Maybe not. Either way.
Fresh legs, we can give us all the pity that we want. Yeah, we're shorthanded, but that doesn't matter right now. We have what we have, and we need to go forward with that. So there is no, we're shorthanded. There is no excuse. There's no excuse whatsoever. Now, if we lose, we lose. So that's what that was.
He's saying the right thing, but they are shorthanded, Michael, and it is an issue. He played 31 minutes, scored a playoff low, 18 points. Talented team, but when you don't have any help, what are you supposed to do?
Well, I mean, they don't have their OG, who they didn't have for some of the season, too, right, because of injuries. You know, we know Brognovich is gone, right? Mitchell Robinson's gone. So, the depth of the team, and I think this was kind of expected that they kind of hit this wall. And frankly, I don't look at it as a negative. I think this is a positive. I know Thibodeau talked about, hey, we just got to rally. We are with what we have, and we move on, and they're going to move on. I mean, look, Hart played 24 minutes, right? You know, Hartenstein played 22 minutes. So this is a game you throw out. everything will be in the next game. And that's all that matters. And they have a veteran team and they have a collective culture with those Villanova players that this will be more about the next game. I think this is too much being made about exhaustion. Yeah, they're tired, but they got to figure out a way to win. They've done it two games in a row. Now they got to figure out a way to do it another time.
Well, DraftKings Sportsbook is not overreacting. I'm looking at the line now. Knicks are still the 2.5-point favorites in this next game. So maybe we can all take a little breather here and just relax, not too much recency bias. But I agree, maybe it is a good thing that they're looking at it this way. We'll see. Either way, kudos to them for making it this far with the gas running low, for sure. We're going to talk more NBA later, but first, we're going to get to news or noise.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. Noise. Noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
And first up, Michael, Patriots quarterback Drake May apparently has a lot to work on, this coming from head coach Gerard Mayo. Take a listen.
Early impressions of Drake, look, I mean, he has a lot to work on. He has a lot to work on, but I have no doubt that he'll put the time in. So, you know, I know you guys saw him out. Well, you didn't see him out here yesterday, but, you know, he was here all night trying to get, you know, on the same page as everyone else. So.
When it comes to Drake, what type of work are you guys doing with him, you know, not on the practice field, to try to get him up to speed when it comes to the playbook and the offense?
Yeah, it just comes down to time. I mean, that's the biggest hurdle. And then, you know, you work under some of these phase two, phase three rules where you don't have as much time as you want to, so you can't have those conversations. But look, it's all about, I mean, hard work works. We talk about it all the time, and he's working hard, so.
So many words. It's strange to hear out of a Patriots head coach. News or noise, Michael?
It's all noise. I mean, who doesn't have a lot to work on? What rookie comes in ready-made? I mean, this is just noise. The reality of it is they signed Jacoby Brissett, paid him $8 million. He's going to be the starter. There's no way you could expect Drake May to come in, learn the entire playbook from Alex Van Pelt, Ben McAdoo in this offense, and be ready to play and execute at a high level. He just doesn't have enough game experience at North Carolina when Jacoby Brissett is sitting right there. So it's noise. Every young player has a lot to learn. Every young player has to learn how to work hard, and every young player has to work on improvement. So this is just news. This is just noise. We're going to hear about this for the next 6, 7, 8 weeks now until we go on summer break.
Really quickly, because you heard my reference to Belichick, he talked a lot about May's footwork and sort of his rush to get out of the pocket. Out of what you've seen from Drake May, do you think those are major issues as well?
Well, I think understanding how to play within rhythm. I think one of the things when you watch Drake May play, Claudia, he had a hard time tying his arm to his feet. You know, the receivers would run, you know, a 13-yard out, and he would be holding the ball because he thought they were running an 18-yard out. So there was a lot of plays that you weren't comfortable with watching him play. It didn't seem like the offense was in sync. So he's going to have to grow, and the rhythm's going to have to take some time to come because he doesn't have the game experience that Bo Nix has or Michael Penix because they're much older and because of COVID. So, you know, it's going to take some time, and fundamentals are going to be the key. But look, Mayo's going to rely on Alex Van Pelt and Ben McAdoo to handle that for him. So, you know, he may be more open to the press than the other coach was, but I'm not sure that's always the best thing. Making the press happy has made no one happy.
Well, like you said, Brissett's there, so May does have time. One quarterback that doesn't, though, he's going straight into it, is Caleb Williams. Matt Eberflus said ahead of rookie minicamp on Friday, no conversation. He is the starter. News or noise, Michael?
Well, I think it's news, but I think people don't realize that there was no backup quarterback in Chicago. And so, you know, Taylor Bannum was the backup, or Tyler, you know, and so they never brought a veteran in. So it was clearly understood that whoever they drafted, once they traded Fields, which we knew they were going to do, was going to be the starter. And so it's really news, but it was obvious to everybody's face that this is what they're going to do. Whereas in Denver, Bo Nix, you know, they trade for Zach Moore. They have Stidham on the roster, so they have two players, right? But when they drafted Nix, you knew he was going to start. Same thing here with Caleb.
I mean, you draft a quarterback at number one overall, you should probably start him. How about this one? Talking about rookies, then veterans. Kirk Cousins, pretty much a full go for offseason workouts, according to Raheem Morris, head coach of the Falcons. He says Kirk is improving every day. He's been doing all of those things. He's been throwing. He's been out there. Pretty much full go for phase two. News or noise?
Well, I would suspect that's news because he's full go, but that doesn't mean he could have contact. And just because you're moving doesn't mean you're cleared to play football. That's the question. We always get caught up in this conversation of he's full go, but is he cleared to participate in contact drills, which we'll wait to see. But I fully expect that. I mean, look, modern medicine has gone a long way on Achilles. When Dan Marino got it in 1993, it was hard to overcome Achilles injuries. When Sonny Jurgensen got it in 1972, nobody was overcoming them. So we've come a long way on the Achilles tendon injuries in the National Football League.
And if not, they have Michael Penix Jr. All right, next one. Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce says Aiden O'Connell has earned a right to take the first snap. 11 starts last season, around 2,200 yards, 12 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. What's interesting here, though, is DraftKings has starting quarterback odds, and Gardner Minshew is the favorite at minus 300, O'Connell plus 220. I mean, I don't know if this is news or noise, but I'm jumping at that, Michael. How about you?
It's news because I didn't see anything in O'Connell that he deserved anything other than the right to compete. You know, I mean, he deserves the right to compete. But when you watched him play last year, look, the Raiders, lose to Minnesota. They couldn't complete a pass. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs on Christmas Day. Basically, they completed one. You know, the last time they completed a pass was in the first quarter. They ran the ball to win the game. So I don't know. And Pierce has been saying this for a while, Claudia, about how he deserves all this. And he's, I get he deserves the right. But there was nothing on the tape last year that indicates that Aiden O'Connell can be a starting quarterback. Now, can Gardner Minshew? They wouldn't have given him $15 million if they didn't think he was going to be the starter.
That's what I'm saying. It's good to have support from your head coach, but it's still questionable. All right, quick one here now. Former Ohio State receiver, now Cardinals wideout Marvin Harrison Jr., you can't get his jersey because he's not signing the NFLPA licensing deal. Is this news or noise?
Well, I think it's news because, the reality of it is if you're going to be part of a collectively bargained union, you have to do what the union asks you to do. The NFL is not an individual union. It's not every man for himself. They have a players union who negotiates a collective bargaining agreement. At some point, either you're on board or you're not. I mean, you decide, but your union says you better get on board.
He better. We'll see what happens there. All right, stay tuned, because up next we have Thomas Gable joining us, sportsbook director at the Baguada, to break it all down from the weekend. Stay tuned.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours. All right, Michael, it's time to talk some NFL, which I know you're always up for. In particular, player props for second-year quarterbacks, and we have to start with the former number one overall pick, Panthers' Bryce Young, who, may I add, had a quarterback rating better only than Mitch Trubisky, Tyson Bagent, Daniel Jones, and Bailey Zappi. So, yes, some of those not even starting quarterbacks. Last year, under 2,900 yards, just 11 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 2 wins, 15 losses, Michael. Yet, they're setting the lines here. 3,300 in the hook for passing yards, 18 in the hook passing touchdowns, a win total of 4.5, and then division odds for the NFC South at 15-1. Anything here tickle your fancy? I am inclined to bet the under on the passing touchdowns.
Well, the passing touchdown certainly, I think, could go under. I mean, last year they struggled. They finished 30th in the league in passing touchdowns, but because that offense was so bad. I think to me, the interesting thing about Bryce Young is he's got to be better, right? With Dave Canales as his offensive coordinator, head coach, they were 32nd in yards, right? But they were 13 in passing attempts. They threw it quite a bit. They gave the kid no protection whatsoever. Now, I don't think they have great skill, but I don't think the kid's a complete bust. He's still ahead of Daniel Jones, who the New York Giants are putting all their hopes on to win the goddamn, to take him to the promised land. So, you know, all those quarterbacks you cited there, one of them was Daniel Jones, which the Giants don't seem to blink on. Now, I would go over on the yards just because if they get behind, he's going to throw for yards. And I think he's going to make more plays in a pro-style offense that wasn't there at Carolina, starting with the first preseason game that I watched.
I agree with you on the yards. I think game script definitely bodes well to the over. I would look game to game for him as well when it comes to passing yards, but I'm going under on the touchdowns. I think they're giving him a little bit too much respect. And this is not so much him, but also just getting used to maybe having a little bit more protection and getting used to new weapons. Xavier Leggett, who's been awesome, by the way. All of the sound bites out of rookie minicamp are just a delight to listen to from him. So curious to see sort of what the ceiling looks like with Bryce Young, if we can have a relatively clean season with him. But one guy who has a very high ceiling is Texan C.J. Stroud, who finished just outside the top five in quarterback rating, over 4,100 yards, Michael, 23 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions. 10-7, top of the AFC South. They put his passing yards up to 4,150 in the hook, 28.5 passing touchdowns, Texans win total at 9.5. And I just want to bet the over on everything, Michael.
Do you really? I would bet the under on everything, only because I think it's going to be
really
the hardest year of his career. Because when you come in with a new offense, you become the hunted one. Right. You're no longer people are taking you for granted. And everybody has spent time studying what the Houston Texans do. It's been everybody's offseason project. Every defensive coach in the AFC South, every defensive coach who's on the Texans schedule is going to look at what Stroud does and try to take it away. They're going to have to redefine themselves. Now, they signed Joe Mixon to help their run game. They've got a lot of great weapons. But I think to me, one of the things you got to do if you're D'Amico Ryans, you want to manage the game the correct way. And maybe that's not having Stroud do all the things and letting the team kind of execute in terms of the run game. So last year, Singletary was their best back. It wasn't, you know, we all kind of felt like it would be a kind of a committee thing. But Damian Pierce particularly, who was a good player, was a rookie. But I tend to lean a little bit towards the under. I'm not saying he's going to have a bad year at all. I just think they're going to be the target this year. They're not going to play 17 games at 1 o'clock.
Sure, and I'm just being dramatic. I just loved watching C.J. Stroud. But that's the issue with the sports books, too. Everybody loved him. So they're going to set these numbers a lot higher after what we saw with his production as a rookie. So, no, I'm not actually jumping at the over. And a lot of these are juice, too, especially that win total, juice minus 140 to the over.
Yeah.
So I'd stay away from that. But I just look at this division, and I think there's still a lot of question marks for the other teams to where it seemed like Houston just found a lot of answers. And I know there's going to be some changes from what we saw in the offseason, but I still think that they're going to be a threat with him at the helm, as long as he can stay healthy, of course. Speaking of health, Anthony Richardson, who did not get to see much of the field with the Colts in his rookie year, got hurt in just his fourth start. However, if we look at those three starts that he did have, Michael, 40, 35, 56 yards rushing, 4 rushing touchdowns, 2 games throwing over 200. The talent was there. A lot of people were worried, and then it ended up happening, that he would be too physical and too mobile and end up getting himself hurt. So curious what you think about this year two for him. Passing yards around 3,200, 21 in the hook passing touchdowns, and they're plus 340 in the AFC South.
I like all the overs here, surprisingly, because I think, you know, Steichen does a really good job of tailoring the offense to the quarterback's strength. And having Richardson, even though he couldn't throw or do anything, having him around the building, learn the offense, and now having a complete offseason where he feels more comfortable under center. He feels more comfortable with what he's doing. And Steichen feels more comfortable calling plays for him. I think he could have a really good year. I wouldn't rule out comeback player of the year award odds on it either, because I think he's going to play well. This is a big man who is, you know, everybody wants to compare Drake May to Josh Allen. Anthony Richardson is really the best comparison there because he's big, he's hard to tackle. Now he's got to stay healthy, right? The smallest quarterback that was drafted last year was Bryce Young, and he's the only one who played 17 games, and he got the crap beat out of him in every single one. So Richardson's got to stay healthy, but that talent will shine. And the second year in a system, to me, especially when the defensive coordinators don't know about him, I think he'll have a chance to really play well.
I have to agree with you, Michael. Like, I talked about those stats that he had. As long as he can control and not being too forceful on the ground, then if he can stay healthy, they'll be great. 9 wins last season, that was with Gardner Minshew and sort of a, not a quarterback carousel, but lots of hands on deck. If they could get to 9 with that situation, plus money to the over, plus 110, is that another over? I know you said over on everything, but specifically with the win total, is that something you'd look at?
Yeah. I mean, look, the key is they've got to get better defensively, right? They gave up a lot of yards. They were a good red zone defense last year. They kept people out of the end zone. They kicked field goals, not touchdowns. But they gave up a ton of yards, couldn't stop the run. And they signed all their players back, and they had Latua in their pass rush in the other side to give them another pass rusher to go along with Buckner inside. This is a big year for Gus Bradley and the defense of the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, if they win 8 games and don't cover your number, there's going to be changes in Indianapolis, not with the head coach, but with the defense, because the defense is going to be the reason why they're not winning games, because what they have done is given up a lot of yards, but not points. They've got to stop giving up so many yards because the offense doesn't get the ball back.
Yeah, and that's even more pressure on a second-year quarterback if you're not getting any help on the other end. The last one we have is Titans' Will Levis, which has been a really tough player for me to try and analyze and try to predict when it comes to betting on. I said that, you know, for his rookie year, everybody was just talking about the fact that he hit the gym, Michael. He's a big dude. He had the arm strength, but was he going to be accurate? Was he going to be consistent? We didn't get to see a whole ton because he only played 9 games, but around 1,800 yards, 8 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. From the little we have seen from him, what do you expect for this season?
You know, I'm going under here. He's too inconsistent for me. Now, I know Brian Callahan's going to coach quarterbacks and the offense is going to be set up, but boy, he was hard to watch last year, up and down, held the ball too long. I didn't think he played with any rhythm. I didn't think he played with any ability to connect his arm to his feet. He was spraying the ball. I understand they've got better receivers this year than they did last year, but still, you know, Pollard wasn't the same back for Dallas last year. Spears is a really good player. But I just think, to me, even though they've signed Tyler Boyd to play in the slot, I'm concerned about the accuracy and the rhythm of Will Levis. I don't see him that way that they do and build a team around him. We'll be seeing who's right and who's wrong.
And for those listening, since I didn't list off the props here, 3,400 in the hook for passing yards, even on both sides, around 110. 20 and a half passing touchdowns, and the win total set at 6.5, again, plus money to the over. Will Levis aside, which, you, I mean, you can't put the quarterback aside, but does that feel like a low number to you with plus money to the over for 7 or more wins, Michael?
You know, I don't know how good Tennessee's going to be. The offensive line, I think Bill Callahan's a really good coach. Strathan Latham's going to help at left tackle. Are they going to be good enough? If they're an 11 team as much as they're going to be as they were in Cincinnati, this will be a challenge to get those mental wins because the quarterback's going to have a hard time staying healthy in that.
Health is the name of the game. This is the Lombardi Line. Claudia Balfano, Michael Lombardi. We will be back to talk some more hoops in hour 2, and we will be joined by Randy Mueller to talk some more NFL.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Today on the VSiN
Nation website, we have the best bets for today's NBA playoff slate from Zachary Cohen and Jonathan Von Tobel, plus a new article breaking down Caitlin Clark's MVP odds and season props as we get ready for the start of the WNBA season. With Michael Lombardi, I'm Claudia Bellafato, and I have your calendar out here, Michael. Packed schedule. Lots of people needing to hear your words of wisdom. Starting with some rookie quarterbacks. Minicamps kicked off over the weekend. We got lots of good sounds from that. Lots of quotes. Matt Eberflus made it clear. Caleb Williams, the day one starters. Others, not so sure. So tell me, what is the most important thing for rookie quarterbacks when it comes to needing to focus on during and after this rookie minicamp?
I think like all players, whether you're a rookie quarterback, whether you're a free agent defensive back, you have to learn how to transition from an amateur to a professional. And that's something we all have to do when we leave college and enter the workforce, right? College is fun. You have a lot of time on your hands. You're not accountable other than your grades and studying, but you have a lot of free time. When you become a pro, you have to dedicate your life to your craft and you have to take it seriously. I think when you look at Zach Wilson in New York, his inability to focus and concentrate was on the back page of the New York Post more than he was for who he was dating than what he was doing in the classroom. And so you've got to really become a pro. You've got to really take time to understand how to study, how to prepare, how to fundamentally work your technique, and also how to maximize your reps. Tom Brady tells a great story. Tom Brady, when he was a sophomore at Michigan, he would only get about 2 reps of practice, and it was frustrating for him. And so what Brady did is he went to the coach, and he said, "Coach, look, I think I probably need to transfer." Now, understand, Brady wasn't highly recruited coming out of San Mateo. He had offers to Michigan and Cal. That's it. And there was no NIL, and there's no transfer portal when he was making this call. And so he went to the coach and said, "I think I need to transfer. I'm only getting 2 reps of practice." And the coach said to him, "Look, Tom, you got to make those 2 reps the greatest reps of all time. And you got to take those 2 reps seriously. You can't make a mistake, and you've got to put your heart and soul. You've got to become a pro on those 2 reps. And so Brady being Brady, he made those 2 reps his Super Bowl. He got in the huddle. He commanded the huddle. He was able to know everything that was going on. And sooner rather than later, 2 reps became 4 reps. 4 reps became 8 reps. 8 reps became the starter. And so you can't get caught up in what you don't have. You've got to maximize what you do have. And so that's the advice. And you can't be impatient. You just can't be impatient. It's a long season. A little bit like joining the Navy SEALs. The guy who sprints or the girl who sprints first to dinner usually is the first one out. It's a long marathon.
Drake May, are you listening? Take notes. Michael Lombardi is giving you Tom Brady's step-by-step how to become the greatest of all time. Let's go to hoops. Poor Frank Vogel. Fired by the Phoenix Suns after just 1 season, Michael. 5-year deal he signed. He said he felt good about it heading into the offseason. And then he gets booted. They finished 6th in the West, finished 49-33, of course, swept in the first round by the T-Wolves. Really curious to see what words of wisdom you have for him after working so many years in the NFL, dealing with the ins and outs of head coaches.
Well, I think the hard part for you, Frank, is the fact that, you know, when they tell you they give you 4 years, you know they don't. And when you're coaching Kevin Durant at his age, when you trade for Bradley Beal, at his age, everything's about winning. And to get swept is embarrassing. And I think anytime an owner gets embarrassed, then he's going to do what he wants to do. And they're billionaires because they don't want to be embarrassed. And they have more money than they know what to do with. So giving you the $20 million is no big deal. They'll feel like they'll offset it when you take another job somewhere someday. Now, if you want to sit out for 4 years, your probably career's over. They know you won't do that. They know you'll be back at work. So I think what you have to do the next time is you've got to be really patient and stay in your lane and not be caught up with being a head coach. Maybe just go be an assistant somewhere and kind of follow along, because this is a hectic world. And when you take on a team with high expectations and you don't meet those expectations, there's no chance in hell you could have felt secure. I know you're a Jersey guy right down the road here in Wildwood Catholic. You had to know that when the owner of that team was swept 4-0. James Jones, Bartlestein, the president, all the people involved, they were going to look for your head because they can't change the cap. They can't get rid of those guys. They only have about three players they could equally trade. So they traded in the coach, and you paid a price.
Already replaced by Mike Budenholzer. All right, next, more hoops. Jalen Brunson, game four was not pretty against the Pacers. 32-point beat down. He had a playoff low 18 points. What do you say to him heading into this next game?
The next game. Like, I don't think I need to say anything to Jalen Brunson because Jalen Brunson already knows it's the next game. Jalen Brunson already knows that it's about what we do on Tuesday night at the Garden that counts. All this talk is noise. Everybody's saying we're exhausted. No one knows if we're exhausted or not. Nobody's been to our practices. Nobody knows how Josh Hart feels. Nobody knows how Hartenstein feels. They just think we're exhausted. And if you let them believe that, that's on you. So what I believe Brunson will do is block out the noise. He'll rally his team because he's got great culture within their building. And they will play their asses off on Tuesday night and show the world they're not tired. That they're not capable of being tired. They're capable of missing shots, no question, which is they missed a bunch of them on Sunday night, Sunday afternoon. But they're not capable of missing them again. And I think they'll rally around it because they have great culture. And one day rest can really lend itself because really, in reality, they didn't play. Josh Hart played 28 minutes or 24 minutes the other night. Brunson played 31. That's like a half a game for those guys. So I expect them to come back. And they don't need me to tell them because the noise, they're used to that. They'll avoid the noise at all time.
Mixed culture, baby. All right, your next appointment is with the Joe Burrow, Cincinnati Bengals, suffering a season-ending wrist injury last year. He's been back to work, getting healthy, says he's strong, feeling better than ever, has a new diet, all that jazz. What do you say to him heading into this season?
I say, Joe, you can win MVP. Just play within yourself. And the most important thing for you as the Cincinnati Bengals, you got to start fast. You got to get Zach Taylor and your team to play better than starting the year 3-4. You're not going to be able to catch up in the North. The AFC has too many good teams. And I think you got to start fast. You got to start with confidence. And I think it's got to start with a really good training camp. You've got to be able to devote yourself to that training camp to make the most of it because it's a long season. I get that. And I know you want to play your best football at the end of the year like you've done the two times once you went to the Super Bowl and once you went to the AFC Conference Championship game. But you're going to need to put yourself in position where you have a home field and you can't give away games in September because you're not ready to play. And the team's going to count on you to do that. And I think that's going to be really important.
You mentioned MVP. I'm looking at comeback player of the year at 2-1. He's behind Aaron Rodgers, the favorite at even money. I think that's a play I'd make. Right, Michael?
Yep. I would too. And I would tell him, look, you got to come back. You know, everybody, you got great skill. You've improved the offensive line. This is your year, and you can do it.
All right, last one. Rory McIlroy blasted past Xander Schauffele to win the Wells Fargo over the weekend, winning by 5 strokes after shooting a final round 65. So how's he going to follow up, Michael? He's in your office. PGA Championship kicks off Thursday. He's second in the odds at 7-1 behind Scheffler, the 4-1 favorite. He keeps pushing these odds to get shorter. What do you have to say to McIlroy?
I think McIlroy's got to stop focusing on majors and just focus on playing one hole at a time. I think we all focus on him winning another major, getting that, you know, getting the four majors in his belt, and he's had a hard time doing that. And I think ultimately the pressure of trying to do that weighs on him because, as we've seen at the Masters recently, he's not been able to play consistently for four rounds. And I think ultimately that's what he has to do. He's got to take a step back and focus just on the day's round, stay in the moment. I think the one thing great golfers have is that stoic behavior where they just go on to the next shot, and don't worry about the end result. The process matters more than the end. And I think that's what McIlroy's got to do, and he's got to have a hot putter. He can't give away strokes like he did at Augusta.
And he won the most recent of his four major titles, 2014 PGA Championship here at Valhalla, same location as this weekend's major. If you're looking at the odds, anybody else on this board you like? We see Koepka at 14-1, Schauffele, who I just mentioned, at 12-1. Or maybe do we just go Rory McIlroy top five plus 175? Maybe not outright, but to finish top five, that feels like a safer play to me.
You know, Claudia, I was all over Koepka in the Masters. I don't understand why he doesn't win the Masters. I mean, he hits it long. He hits it far. It's an open course. He didn't putt well. But I believe that. I believe that that's the right tournament for him to win. So I would bet Koepka in these odds at this number because we know he plays well and he's playing well.
All right, 14-1. That's a nice little payout. We'll be back. Show's about over. This flew by, Michael. We got some more hoops to talk about as we round out the Lombardi line here on this fine Monday.